Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Halfway through the month of October, it is unbelievable, but we have reached this point. Paul Ihander here, over there, Lindsey Brown.
What up?
Thanks for hanging out with us today. We've been off for a couple of days due to baseball, and we have yet another blitzingly fast one-hour program to shove in your face like the most delicious piece of pie you could savor this time of year.
We didn't choose the sports radio life, but the sports radio life chose us, Paul.
Yeah, it just feels that way. Mm-hmm. So coming up at 4 o'clock, pregame, Dodgers and the Braves. Game 4 in the National League Championship Series. It is Happy Kershaw Day, and that is where we start our five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports, number one.
All right, so we have playoff baseball in full swing, pun intended.
Ooh.
The American League Championship Series is going on right now, Game 5. Houston trying to avoid elimination against Tampa, and let the pitching changes begin as Tampa and Houston are tied at one apiece in the top of the third inning.
Why are they changing pitchers? It's not like it's a high-scoring game. Like, did somebody run out of starters?
Houston needs to hang in there somehow, and they almost got swept last night if it weren't for just a routine fly ball in the bottom of the ninth.
I suppose you're just trying to prevent, you know, the opposing batters getting into a groove and having them figure out what you're throwing and when you're throwing it, right? Every run matters.
It's the truth.
We hate the Astros.
Right.
Every
run matters, including for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who they are coming back tonight, trailing 2-1 to Atlanta. It is a Happy Kershaw Day. Clayton Kershaw's back is now much better. I don't know if it was the acupuncture, the stimulation, or if, you know, he just hit one of these places on Spring Mountain over here. Whatever it was.
Maybe it's the hometown cooking.
Yeah, his back is better, and he will start tonight for the Dodgers. Again, trying to even up the series at 2 apiece. That game gets underway. First pitch at 5:08 p.m.
Nice.
Live from the bubble, and our coverage here starts at 4 o'clock. Can the magic come back for Kershaw?
I would like them to score about the same amount of runs in the first inning, just
11,
to give him a little
spot.
Bit of cushion, and you just let him throw what he needs to throw. So if they can do it yesterday, why can they not repeat it today?
Sure, I can't imagine the lineup's going to change at all. We haven't seen it yet from Dave Roberts, but if Corey Seager's batting anywhere near the top of the lineup the way
God.
Mookie Betts was, yeah, it's going to be a
He's
long night.
Tear.
Atlanta's going to start a rookie in Brian Wilson tonight, so
Wilson.
That'll be good news for the Dodgers, at least for the first part of that game, if they can get the bats moving again. But Atlanta does have the advantage of putting it's a game one and game two winners back in rotation. Not sure, because of how the series have been set up, because we're playing back to back to back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
If this series had to go a full 7, which I'm hoping it doesn't, hopefully it only goes 6.
Correct.
That Clayton Kershaw may be a reliever in game 7 as opposed to a starter.
Hmm. Well, as long as you have him at your disposal, that's a good thing, considering where we were a couple of days ago when he was out of the lineup. So we'll take a reliever, but how about we get a win in the start today?
Right. Let's see if that can happen. Dodgers, Braves, 4 o'clock pregame, 5:08 first pitch. You can hear it here on CBS Sports Radio, 1140.
Number 2.
All right, so Anthony Davis is going to opt out of his contract.
What?
With the Los Angeles Lakers.
Are we panicking?
I don't know. Are you a Lakers fan?
No, but I'm slowly warming up, not to the idea of the fandom, but just the idea of being okay with their existence and possibly buying a championship hat because they're sick.
Right. So you've got LeBron there who's going to stay, clearly. The idea of Rajon Rondo who's going to opt out as well, but he got his ring and he's... I just got
two now.
Yeah, I read this the other day. He's one of the few, like, two or three players on the planet that has a ring with the Celtics and a ring with the Lakers.
Very conflicting, I'm sure. The angels on the shoulders, or whoever your conscious is, it must be a really tough decision between the two.
Red Auerbach on one shoulder.
Correct.
Jerry West on the other.
Yeah.
Both screaming at him to pass the ball.
But I'm sure they're not going to just let Anthony Davis or Rajon Rondo walk, because Rajon had a really good series, especially in that clinching game. But Anthony Davis, slightly important to the success going forward.
Yeah, it's true. The option is $28.7 million. He will opt out. But apparently he's going to stay.
If you opt out, meaning if he opts out, is he eligible to sign a super max then?
He can sign a bigger deal.
Because the Pelicans traded him, right? So technically they would have the option to sign him to a supermax deal if they want to go down that road. Now, that might not be the best allocation of all the resources, but a bigger contract than what he's getting this year, right?
The phone call I make right now, if I'm Anthony Davis, is to LeBron James. After he gets done building the next house for his small daughter.
Oh, yes. Tiny house that I would like to live in.
Who's already turned it into a haunted house, apparently.
Oh, really? They've decorated again?
So once LeBron gets done doing the whole trading spaces, home renovation, property brothers thing with his daughter, then maybe he'll pick up the phone and answer Anthony Davis's one question. How long do you keep on playing?
I think you just sign the contract for as long as you want to play, because LeBron's going to keep playing for the next couple of years, at least in theory, but there is going to be life without the LeBron, but doesn't mean you have to make any different plans, because it seems like the Lakers were a pretty good destination for all people, but especially with the way things transpired. Like, this is the dream for Anthony Davis, is it not?
It is the dream.
It is the dream.
And he's got the ring.
And he does.
So just remember, try to, you know, keep it in perspective when you talk about a 5-year, $202 million deal that he could sign in the offseason. That'll just blow up the luxury tax.
That would take care of so many student loan payments.
$202 million. Yeah,
just a couple.
Not just for you. You could be a doctor five times over, Lindsay.
Gosh, what an investment that would be.
AD does want to stay with the Lakers, but he will opt out from the current deal just so he can make more money.
Yeah, and get a couple of dinners out of it. You never know.
Right, that's the truth.
Number three.
All right, so from one side of Los Angeles to the other side, actually, they share the same court, don't they?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so literally.
Everything.
One side. Sideline to the other sideline. Well, not soon. I mean, David Ballmer is going to build them that. Or Steve Ballmer is going to build them that giant.
Is that just a practice facility, or are you talking about an entirely different arena?
He's building like a brand new arena.
Well, he's very excited about it, regardless.
Yeah, he is. It looks pretty sweet. The LA Clippers have a new coach, and it's not. We'll just go to literally. You just call him Ty. Ty Lue. 5 years. This is according to sources all across the league. They just finished up the deal, apparently, this afternoon, and they're going to get ready to sign it. 5-year contract, and he will get to take over Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and whatever the rest of that team is. Yeah, he's a player's coach, and he's got a championship ring, too, just like Doc
did. Correct.
Boy, man, Doc Rivers to Ty Lue.
I mean, it seems like a predictable kind of transition. Doesn't it seem to be? Because I'm shocked he hasn't gotten a new chance since he was last in Cleveland, but he's been with the Lakers the last couple of years, right?
Yep.
So as an assistant coach, he's still so young, but yeah, when I saw his name flash across, I'm like, I'm surprised, but also not shocked at all.
Right.
I'm surprised that it came down today, but I'm not shocked that Lou was up for this position and got it, because as you said, he has a ring.
Right.
And you don't have to move.
Yeah, they're recent rings. He's got a recent championship as well. He's fairly young, so he could still relate to these guys. And the only other name I could have thought that would have been up for this would be maybe like Nate McMillan.
Sure.
Who had a long, good run.
Becky.
Right.
Becky Hammon.
Yeah.
At any time, you know, just any time, she's more than qualified. But yeah, it seems like a pretty easy transition between the two, and it gives them a definite different look in the locker room and a different voice.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But he is a winner. That is the truth, and he'll be able to recruit some players for sure if he needs any more help beyond Kawhi and Paul. I think he's got to put it together this year. The expectation will be, listen, the Lakers are a year older. You've got these two guys. Either make it work or it's not going to happen. Not that Ty Lue's going to lose the job after 1 year.
I think you talk to the players. I think you talk to those two, because they are actually the ones on the floor and shooting the basketballs or missing them. And the onus is on them, because you got rid of Doc Rivers. A change has been made. A scapegoat has been put out to pasture. So guess who's next to step up, baby?
Ty Lue, 5-year deal. Clippers are settled. Lakers seem to be getting settled, too. Yes, it's all good in L.A.
Number four.
All right, so this is the golf tournament that we're kind of supposed to know about, but not really supposed to know about.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're playing it at Shadow Creek. The PGA Tour has the CJ Cup.
That's here.
It is here. But again, it's kind of like, are they here or aren't they here?
Their aura is here.
This tournament normally would be played in South Korea.
Oh, so it's like the Maui Invitational for basketball?
Kind of, sort of, but it doesn't come with that. This is not the Seoul Open,
right?
You know, being played in Las Vegas. It's called the CJ Cup, and they play for a lot of money. This is like
many doll hairs?
Like a $9.5 million purse.
Oh, so many student loan payments,
and a lot of the regulars ended up staying from the Shriners Open last week. They ended up playing.
Sure.
Now, just Dustin Johnson's got the COVID, so he had to opt out of this one.
Oh no,
he's not playing. But the leaderboard, again, everybody was kind of wondering, okay, not a lot of these guys have actually played Shadow Creek. That's the thing. This is the course
that caddies know how to read these greens.
This is the course you have to get, like, the ultimate invitation to. I've only seen some of the holes. I mean, I've never played the course. I've been out to the course.
Sure.
I've only seen them from a bus.
Well, because you can't see what's going on in the shadows.
Correct.
Especially if there's a creek in there.
So, as Shadow Creek hosts the CJ Cup, there are a number of, again, they're actually playing. I mean, there's actually scores that are being played, but
right,
it just kind of snuck up on everybody.
Well, that's the thing. When you, like you said, there's no fans out there. We don't really know. They're supposed to be in South Korea, but they're here. But there are familiar names that are towards the top of that leaderboard. I think the biggest name that I know off the top of my head is John Rahm. He's currently third right now at 5 under. But, you know, seems like a lot of the normal names that you would expect. Is there, what's the next major? The Masters?
Yeah.
You gotta start warming up. Augusta's around the corner.
Augusta.
Where's Tiger? Is he practicing? He needs a lot of practice.
He's not playing.
Okay.
But Rory's 2 under. Ian Poulter's 3 under.
When was the last time Ian Poulter did anything?
It's a weird. Bubba Watson's +3.
What is going on with him and the pink driver, man?
I don't know.
What's happening?
I don't know.
He needs a lesson. I know he's self-taught, but like maybe we get a swing coach in there. We can ask Jordan Spieth's coach. It's going so well for him.
Right. So, in case you're wondering, and you might see some golfers somewhere, maybe. I don't know how they would do this, but the CJ Cup is at Shadow Creek for the next 4 days.
Wow. Isn't that special?
It is.
Number five.
All right. This is straight out of James Bond movies.
Yeah.
So, if you're not familiar with the name Sam Querrey, Sam Querrey is a professional tennis player who is actually lives here in Las Vegas. He played for the Vegas Rollers.
One of the best Americans, because on the men's side, it's not exactly a deep pool of talent.
It's not. It's kind of like U.S. men's soccer.
Correct.
Let's be honest.
Correct.
You know.
The women will hold it down for the success and all of the accolades. Yeah. Don't worry.
It's kind of the deal in tennis, too. So, Sam Querrey, who played for the Vegas Rollers in world team tennis and is in the top 50 in the world right now, is going to play, or was going to play, in the St. Petersburg Open in Russia. Well, apparently on Sunday, he tested positive for COVID. He and his wife tested positive for COVID. They also have an 8-year-old or
eight-month-old
son with them. His name is Ford. They both test 24 hours ahead of the first round of the tournament. He and his family take off without telling reception that he's leaving from their hotel.
Because they're supposed to quarantine for 14 days in a 5-star hotel in St. Petersburg, correct?
Yeah.
It's Russia. So they were like, we're going to put you in the hospital because you guys are testing positive for COVID and they might have different protocols.
And the tournament officials are like, well, we're going to send some doctors to your room. And it's like, okay, well, let's come over. And on the Monday, after being tested positive, they show up and he goes, no, you can't come in. My son is sleeping. Which, as a good parent knows, is the perfect excuse to get out of anything you don't want to do.
Nobody wants to mess with nap time. You know what happens when those are cut short.
Right, exactly. You do not hit the Ring doorbell,
it's bad,
please.
Now and later.
Right, yeah. You're going to be feeling my wrath. So the doctors so they come back on Tuesday. Well, that Tuesday morning, Querrey and the family sneak out. Doctors come back on Tuesday. He had already left the country.
Yeah. Private plane, literally got on the jet and said, see you later.
Just weird. And so the World Tennis, the ATP, they're not happy at all.
I totally understand.
Yeah, they're talking about breaches of protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Querrey, thinking about his family, and I get it.
Also totally understand why he would want to get up and leave, because you're in a foreign country and you don't know if you're going to be separated from your family. But also, why are you bringing your family to Russia for your tennis match during the COVID? But that's just a different type of question.
That's definitely a different question. So they take off, and now they're being, like, sequestered, like, by themselves.
They don't know where they are.
Nobody knows where they're at.
It's a very, very spacious Airbnb in the Baltic Sea.
Yeah, it's just, the story just gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
So it's James Bondish, like, completely. Like, how do you get out of the country? We sneak out. We don't say, hey, by the way, we're not going to settle up the bill here because we didn't order anything. You know,
right.
Did they leave, like, rubles on the table for the housekeeper?
Do they still use rubles?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not sure.
It's like croc.
Anastasia was, like, one of my favorite films as a child, but that's pretty much as far as it goes. Like, right. I love ancient Russian stuff, and I did ancient, but, like,
dollars.
Old Russia, I don't even know if they still use rubles.
They use
I understand why the ATP would be really disappointed, because this is their event. They're putting this on. They do have protocols to make sure that they're kept safe. And if there's anybody that's going to be kept safe and together, it's the professional tennis players. But I get Sam. I get it. It's just bad. But there might be repercussions for him. There might be repercussions for the tour itself.
Yeah.
It's just not a really good situation.
No, not at all.
No.
All right. There's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon brought to you by Big Dogs Brewing. Oktoberfest is just around the corner. Secure your Big Dogs Brewing pack from Oktoberfest at BigDogsBrews.com. Coming up next, your ads and drops for another strange weekend in the NFL. Nate Lundy joins us next.
Y'all ready to kick it? Come on.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay on this Thursday, joined by the co-hosts of the syndicated show, The Fantasy Football Hour, found on Regional Sports Nets everywhere, as well as you find him on Twitter, if Twitter would work today, at Nate Lundy. Nate Lundy joins us. Nate, welcome back.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Norm, other than the Twitters. Paul usually is on that the entire show. I have to carry everything, so he's sad. But is everything working for you up there in the Denver area?
You know, every now and then I just take a break from Twitter and just spend all my time finding meaningless Thursday night football games to gamble on, like the Panthers and the Red Wolves tonight. That's what's going to occupy my time.
Red Wolves?
Yeah,
where are those?
Arkansas State.
Oh.
Yeah, he's talking about NCAA football, which... You know,
I don't know if you can do fantasy NCAA football.
I gotta get my football fix.
It's pretty much all we have right now. Nate, if you happen to have Le'Veon Bell on your team and you saw what happened in the last couple of days with him being cut, is he worth keeping at this point, knowing what teams could be in play for him?
No. And honestly, I'm not sure he was worth having on your roster to begin with. I mean, I think he's a shell of what he has been in the past, and I think a lot of people probably either drafted him, picked him up, put him on our bench spot, whatever, simply for name recognition. I just don't know that this guy is going to emerge and be any kind of a point value threat for you. I mean, I suppose if you've got him and you're using a bench spot for him, you could talk me into that, only because we don't know what COVID and bye weeks and things are going to do. But I think if you're banking on him to get you some points, that bank's going to dry up.
Where do you think he's most likely to land? I know this isn't necessarily a fantasy-specific question, but there has to be a team where he fits the best. Where do you think that is?
I think the two that he fits the best are the ones that we've heard the rumors about the most, and that's Miami and Kansas City. I think Kansas City would take him for depth, if nothing else. I think Miami might try to see if they can get a little bit of a workhorse. They've got a great talent in Miles Gaskin, but they might need somebody that can just kind of run things between the tackles. But wherever he goes, as I mentioned, he's going to wind up being part of a full-blown RBC. He's not going to be a workhorse type of guy. But I think right now those are probably the two teams that make the most sense, and they're also the ones that we've heard the most buzz about.
And speaking of working horse running backs and one that's going to have to take a step up even further, Dak Prescott is out for the rest of the season. At least that's what we're all assuming. Andy Dalton stepping into the quarterback position for the Cowboys. What does that mean for the Cowboys offense in general, but specifically for Ezekiel Elliott and anybody that has him on their team?
Well, I think obviously you drafted Zeke because you knew that he was a workhorse and that they can utilize him. And look, let's face it, the Cowboys picked up Andy Dalton. He's, you know, it's not like having Aaron Rodgers waiting in the wings, but Andy Dalton is not a, you know, he's not a chump quarterback. I think that, frankly, Dallas is going to look kind of like what Dallas has looked like. I don't think they're going to be great, but I don't think they're going to fall on their face either. So, you know, to me, having a guy like Andy Dalton that has the experience coming in is not as much of a nail in the coffin as it might be for other teams to lose a starter like Dak. Dallas had somebody there. I think in terms of Zeke, Amari Cooper, we look at Michael Gallup, we talk about CeeDee Lamb. I mean, let's face it, guys, Andy Dalton never had those kinds of weapons around him in Cincinnati. I'm going to be fascinated to see what Dalton can do with that many potential weapons at his disposal on any given play.
Nate Lundy joining us, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour, found on regional sports nets everywhere. Also, you can find him on Twitter, Nate Lundy, N-A-T-E-L-U-N-D-Y. As we talk about Andy Dalton and the Dallas Cowboys, they are playing Arizona on a Monday. Again, another doubleheader on a Monday. How are these forcing players, Nate, at least in terms of what you've seen, into making decisions about lineups, knowing that there's a bigger pool of players available towards the end of the week?
Yeah, I think it makes things really interesting, Paul, because, you know, obviously when there's only the one Monday night game, if you've got a player that is questionable or you're not quite sure what to expect, as you just said, on a normal time, we've only got two teams. You probably don't have a whole lot of backups you can go with. But now with these double headers, if you have somebody that you aren't 100% sure about, you do have some options, especially if you're not in a super deep league and there's some players available on the waiver wire for you on a pretty consistent basis. I think that's part of it. You know, I think the other piece to it in that doubleheader Monday night is, you know, it does still add this funky wrinkle for fantasy players of, you know, do I want to have all my eggs in that Monday night basket, or do I want to make sure I've got some players that are going on Sunday so that I can rack up some points so that I'm not just relying on that final 5 hours, 6 hours worth of my football week to see if I've got a victory.
One matchup that we're going to see this weekend that isn't necessarily on Monday night, but definitely has the AFC North powers facing off against one another. You have the 4-1 Browns against the 4-0 Steelers. The Steelers obviously have a great defense, but we've seen so much from that Browns offense so far. But you had Odell Beckham Jr. leaving practice today. Where are your matchups in that specific game matchup itself? And where do you lean on the Browns' ability to move that ball up and down the field against the Steelers' defense?
I think they can move the ball. I think the real question is what you just talked about, OBJ leaving practice. That's obviously, you know, a big kick in the groin there for Cleveland if they lose him, because he is valuable and he's a nice security blanket. He's also a good field stretcher, et cetera, for Baker Mayfield. I think this Pittsburgh defense is pretty good. I think that Cleveland is going to have their hands full no matter whether OBJ is out there or not. You know, they're talking about an over-under of 51. Cleveland's got a good front line, which means I think they can slow down the Pittsburgh running game, but they are susceptible, you know, in the secondary. Do I think Chase Claypool is going to go nuts this week? Absolutely not. I think what he did last week was a bit of an aberration. I think the real question right now in that game is not so much OBJ, but I'm going to go to the other sideline. Right now, when you look at Juju Smith-Schuster, we are not seeing the guy that we were seeing at the very beginning of his career, this guy that we said, oh, no, you know, no wonder Pittsburgh's getting rid of Antonio Brown, because this guy can just step right in and take over. And lately, his stat lines have just been absolutely gross. And he has yet to lead his team in targets in any game this season. And that's insane for a guy that we all thought was going to wind up just being the automatic wide receiver one in Pittsburgh because of the departure of Antonio Brown. So to me, this is a game where I need to see Juju Smith-Schuster show me something, or if I'm an owner, I'm going to be really concerned.
Nate Lundy, co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour. Nate, we know you got to run, and I'll let you apologize to Teddy Bridgewater later, because the marquee matchup this weekend is Chicago versus Carolina. So,
is Chicago, Paul, is Chicago the worst 4-1 team we've ever seen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll take Carolina all day long in that game, because I think this mirage that is the Bears is about to be exposed.
We will see what happens on Sunday. Nate Lundy, thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks. Enjoy the weekend.
My name.
Co-host of the Fantasy Football Hour, Regional Sports Net. I know he had to run.
Yeah, he had to leave abruptly.
Yeah.
Abruptly.
Yeah. You literally heard his car turn off.
Yeah.
You can find him on Twitter when Twitter actually works, and ask him questions there on the fantasy football front at Nate Lundy, N-A-T-E-L-U-N-D-Y. He joins us every Thursday about this time to talk football.
Are we going to break, or are we going to stretch this out a little bit here?
No, we're going to talk a bit.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because since we all agree that the Bears are probably the most overrated 4-1 team, Are the Panthers the most underrated rebuild team at this point?
At maybe
not just this season. Like, we've seen a few teams as of late where they'll go almost worst to first. That's what happened with the Rams. It's kind of what happened with the 49ers. But, like, honestly, unfortunately, we had to cut time short with Norm. But I wanted to ask him, like, is Teddy Bridgewater a full-blown, like, fantasy starter in his mind at this point? Because I like what I'm seeing from that Panthers team.
He might be. It's strange that you say that, because I was just thinking of the same thing, and I hate saying this out loud because the boss could be listening, but the Rams are kind of one of those teams that kind of turn things around and nobody really thinks about them right now.
Right.
Nobody really thinks about the Rams. And they're good, but they're overshadowed by Seattle's performance.
Yes.
And then kind of San Francisco's kind of underperformance.
Absolutely. And then there's also some of the air sucked out of the room by the Cardinals and them taking a few steps as well. Yeah, that's the NFC West, though, in general. It's just like big brother, little brother switching every single year, and sometimes a couple times per year. It's just injuries have made it just really weird.
Right. Carolina surprised everybody.
Yeah.
I have completely surprised everybody. When they took the hit with McCaffrey, everybody kind of really wrote them off.
But they weren't bad in week one against the Raiders. Like, they weren't bad. They were in that game. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, they're actually scoring some points. Like, for a first-year head coach, brand new quarterback as well. Like you said, no Christian McCaffrey, who they were pauing so much money. And you had Luke Kuechly retired last year, right? That was last year.
It's their offense has been, I mean, again, you know, and all credit goes to Matt Rhule for taking over there.
100%.
And putting together a system that seems to be working regardless of the components, and the defense hasn't been terrible, and I think that's probably the best news for Carolina is that they're a middling defense.
They haven't been in the last few years.
It's not like they're 27th or 26th. They're 17th, so they're right in the middle of the pack, and to have a defense like that, but then to have your offense kind of just step over that completely and be a top five offense, it gives them, you know, it gives them that chance to be in every game. Now, the Bears are going to be, that's just going to be a weird game on Sunday. You know, because the Bears' defense isn't terrible, and the offense just, there's nothing clicking there, but they're finding ways to win football games.
Let's go deeper into this alternate reality that is the Carolina Panthers.
Because I
agree with you. I think it's so much is on Matt Rhule and his ability to kind of get this team going, and as this is his first head coaching job at this level as well, but the players have to buy into that. And it's not like, you know, they had a coach in a situation like we saw from the Houston Texans with Bill O'Brien this year, where it was like an all-out mutiny. Like, Ron Rivera was beloved there. And
sure.
So, in terms of the buy-in from the players, I think that needs to be just as much stated as Matt Rhule's contributions. But do you think it's the same level of buy-in if Cam Newton is on this roster? Because I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is, because it's a holdover from the old regime. And that includes the coaching staff and other players and that past success that they had, you know, in 2015, his MVP.
And what does this tell you about Teddy Bridgewater as a quarterback, that he's able to step in? And he's got, you know, Robbie Anderson almost has 500 yards receiving in five games. Like,
right.
Robbie Anderson.
But Teddy Bridgewater is a leader of men. Like, he is he was like that when he got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. You could already tell how much more ahead he was in maturity away from the field. And just, he was beloved in the locker room, not just being like the young guy who's funny, but a guy who had so much potential. And that really was the saving grace for a lot of his physical shortcomings as a quarterback, because he was taken 32nd overall in that first round. And so I think we're kind of seeing that, and how big of a gamble he took, you know, to leave New Orleans. Like, he could have stayed another year and taken over for Drew Brees. He probably could, because they might consider that this year if he's still on that roster.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And so I'm so fascinated by that reclamation project, and it's a great fan base, and I'm really excited that they've been able to turn it around, because they have great jerseys,
and it's a fairly young defense too. I mean, Brian Burns, Gross Matos, I mean, but then they've got Shaq Thompson, Tahir Whitehead, former Raider.
Right.
Eli Apple, a guy the Raiders were going to sign.
Another reclamation project.
Is also on that team. So, I mean, it's not a bad football team. And they're proving everybody wrong right now. It probably helps, too, that when it comes to their schedule, especially being in that NFC South, that, you know, they're looking
at... But that's not that favorable this year.
No, it's not. But, you know, they lose their first two games. Everyone kind of went, okay, they're not going to do much.
Right.
They take the Chargers, which made sense. They surprised the Cardinals, and then they had the Falcons. But you look at this, I mean, they had the Chiefs in Tampa Bay in back-to-back weeks.
Right.
But then they finish, I mean, in the middle of that, Detroit, Minnesota, Denver, Washington. I mean, it gets a little bit soft, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're exceeding expectations. I really do think they are.
I don't think there's a better example of the top down leadership from the owner all the way down. It just shows you how quick you can turn these things around versus other, you know, middling franchises that don't have as strong of leadership or just haven't had the reputation, how long it takes for them just to get their back on their feet, let alone have the success that Carolina's seeing.
Well, early on, just in terms of the resume, it feels like they've done the right things in Carolina. Imagine with a healthy McCaffrey and another year for that defense to grow together, it could be a much different football team.
Right, exactly.
You know, 21, but maybe they're peaking early. We've seen this happen before in hockey. We're seeing it happen here in the NFL as well.
For sure.
Coming up next, Ash from Sam & Ash joins us with some legal hot takes in sports.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
All right, listen up. This is very important, people. Are you registered and ready to vote? Find out and register if you need to at vote411.org. There's still plenty of time, including in person through Nevada early voting period from October 17th through the 30th. Let your voice be heard. For more details, go to 411.org. Paul.
It is a Thursday. Normally, we do this on Wednesdays because that's when you would know it would be Wednesday. But it's a Thursday today. Ash, the attorney, joins us from Sam & Ash. You can visit them online, samandash.com. Give them a call, 702-820-1234. She has a brand new billboard up everywhere. And Ash joins us now. Ash, thanks for coming on this afternoon. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
We missed you, friend. And how pumped are you about the announcement that, well, the NFL Pro Bowl this year is going to be kind of reimagined, they say. But next year in 2022, apparently it's coming to Las Vegas. How pumped on a scale of 1 to 10? Because I'm at about a 12.
Oh, I was going to say 12.5. So I've got you beat, Lindsay.
Right on.
I am really excited to see the Pro Bowl come to Vegas. You know, it lived over in Hawaii for many of years. And then now I think they did Florida last year with the Super Bowl. So this is just going to be fun. And I'm excited to see Vegas capture more of these sporting events.
Pro Bowl's a good time. They moved it to Arizona for the 1 year. It was the Super Bowl where New England decided to intercept the pass that should have been a run for Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, no one remembers.
Right, into the end zone.
Nah.
The Pro Bowl's a good time. It comes with a lot of fun stuff and usually B-level music acts.
And dodgeball as well.
We're
going to have to think of some like unique, specific events to Las Vegas. I mean, like, is Dizzy Bat on the menu? Could that be part of the repertoire of events? What goes sticks out to you, Ash, in terms of a fun Vegas-themed event that the Pro Bowl should add in a couple years?
Oh, so, you know, maybe some beer pong. I think that would be a great competition that Vegas, I think the Link area, is familiar with. So, no, I don't know. Maybe some more gambling events, something fun like that. There's ways to incorporate the Vegas theme. And just, I mean, if you just paint everything gold, you're already winning.
Right. You say one of the events is you have to be up for 48 straight hours in Las Vegas. It's just that's the goal. We'll see who wins.
Sleep deprivation.
Yeah, style points definitely count, but you have to be up for 48 hours.
No doubt. Or navigate a casino in less than 5 minutes to get to your hotel room. That could always be fun, too.
Oh, that would be a good one.
SamandAsh.com. Visit them online. We have Ash, the attorney, with us here. And speaking of more things that are coming here, besides Sam & Ash, who are here and painting this, are you guys actually painting the side of your building with murals? Is that what's going on down there?
What?
Yeah, actually, it's a little fun secret of ours that we have a wall along our parking lot, and rather than just let it be a blank wall, we've decided to reimagine it, and we've enlisted some great people from the Arts District, Paco, to find a great artist, Gear Duran, who's going to help us do this great addition to the Arts District with a mural, and should be here middle of November-ish, so it's going to be exciting, and I look forward to seeing everyone come down and watch the unveiling.
Can I put my handprints on it? I kind of want to do that, because didn't you do that as kids, where you're like, your parents would have you do it in like a concrete thing, like, we're going to encapsulate how big their hands were at age 7, like, just for the memes. Like, can I do that on your mural down in the Arts District? Because I would like that level of fame.
Yeah, I don't think Sam will approve of that, but we'll get creative. You know, we'll find a way for you to be involved, Lindsay. Don't worry.
Maybe just like an accent wall in the bathroom, perhaps.
Accent wall.
Yeah, maybe
turquoise.
One of those. Yeah,
like
that'll be my space.
Ocean blue.
That'll be my canvas.
Ash, the attorney, okay. Joining us from samandash.com. Give them a call because you will need this phone number at some point in your world. 702-820-1234. Now, we talk about the Pro Bowl getting pushed back a year. Maybe we're going to host the Super Bowl a couple years from now. We are going to get the draft. That's the trifecta. But the NCAA is going to come here, too. And, of course, I'm speaking with two former athletes at that level. And,
that's
you know,
right.
When you guys talk about, when you guys play in championships like this and you get to make the trips, how special were going on road trips? It couldn't have been all about business. It had to be a little bit more about team bonding in some cases, right, guys?
I think so. I would say it was mostly about team bonding. You know, that's where you, because the mid-season trips, that's where you really figured out and you gelled and found your lineups that worked. So it was primarily team bonding.
I completely agree with you on that mid-season point, but I feel like it's different at the end, you know, when we're talking about regional championships and playoffs. Like, you're such, at least I was so tunnel vision, but granted, I was one of those people that couldn't really have any sort of fun and expect myself to perform to the level that I expected of myself on the ice, so it was just not a fun time most of the time, but I agree with you. That's where all of my memories kind of remain as I think back at my collegiate career, because, you know, you can remember a few, you know, big-time baskets that you had, or a couple of big time saves that'll always be like in my memory. But in terms of what is really all about that experience, it's the hotel rooms, it's the locker rooms beforehand, it's, you know, the hotel lobbies when, you know, you got one of your teammates with a sign on their back that says kick me. Like, it's all of that.
Yep. Yeah, it's a collective experience, and you're absolutely right. End of the season championship trips, those are much more serious and focused, but you still have fun and you have to let loose, and you're just saving all your fun for this time of your life now, Lindsay, right?
Correct. Now we are living the best life. That's what the NARP is. The non-athletic regular people know how to party, and not just on Saturdays. You got to go big or go home. It's just not a conducive, healthy lifestyle. But to stick with a serious note, you know, last week we saw the loss of Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys. You're a Cowboys fan and obviously a huge fan of Dak. Can't be understood how much he means to that team. But I wanted to ask you how confident you were in the Cowboys. You know, they are still in the NFC East, which is still a division that exists, even though it shouldn't anymore. But how do you feel about Andy Dalton and your team's chances going forward?
You know, I want Andy to have a full week of practice as the starting quarterback, and we'll really be able to tell coming this weekend to see where they're at. But, you know, he's a veteran. He's experienced. So I'm confident that he can do it. Is he Dak? No. But one thing about Dak, you know, I had a season-ending injury twice in my basketball career, and I just watched the video from Dak that the Dallas Cowboys put out to the fans. And, you know, he said a couple great things in it. He said, this is just a chapter in my book, and I'm excited to start writing it. And he's looking forward to it, and that's positive mentality. That's what you need at this phase. And then the other thing that he said is he's going to enjoy watching the game from a different perspective the rest of the season. And I remember from my own take, that was huge. I came back after my injuries knowing so much more about the game. The game seemed slower because I had studied it for a season. I couldn't move. And so I had to watch everything. And so I'm excited to actually see this road to recovery take shape.
100% agree. And like you said, it's all about that positive mentality, because it's so easy to start looking, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead. You got to go every day because that rehab has to be done every day. And then, you know, in terms of playing chess, not checkers, as you watch the game differently, I think this will lead to bigger and better things for Dak, and hopefully an even bigger contract. Because if anything, there's more emphasis on how much he means to that team and how dumb this entire franchise tag process has been for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just hopeful and that he keeps a positive attitude, and I'm excited to see what comes of it.
Ash, the attorney, joining us from Sam and Ash. Visit them online 24/7. It's always on sam@ash.com. Also, the phone is always answered, 702-820-1234. Well, we don't have a Thursday night game here, Ash. We do have a doubleheader on Monday, and I know the Cliff Notes said we would only pick one, but I think it's time we pick two games this weekend.
I like this change.
Monday. It's a Monday night, so there's two games on Monday night. So we have Kansas City and Buffalo. Kansas City is favored by 3.5.
I'm taking KC, my boy Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to go Buffalo.
He's coming off a giant loss.
Exactly.
There's no way he's losing two in a row.
I'd like to say the same about Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills, man.
Yeah, I'm going
Kansas
City. I'm going Kansas City.
Okay, well, you two do that, and I will be on my island over here with Buffalo. What's the other game on Monday night?
The other game, which you can hear on CBS Sports Radio 1140, Ash, just to let you know when you're driving around, is the Arizona-Dallas game, and it is Cardinals only 1.5.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take Dallas. Like, I have to.
Yeah, especially after we just did that, the diatribe. And yeah. I'm going to go opposite, so I'm going to take the Cardinals because I still don't like the Cowboys. I like Dak, but not the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I also have to root for Andy Dalton. He went to TCU, and my dad went and played football down there. So, you know, this Cowboy, Dallas, Texas blood runs deep. So
the Horned
I'm
Frogs, man.
Horned Frogs.
I know.
They never unhorn, do they?
No, they don't. Cowboys in 1.5.
Did you pick fall?
I'm struggling with this one. I am because I have a Cowboys hat in my office and a Cowboys pennant in my office.
That's a sickness that you have.
I know, I do. It is a sickness. Yeah. But man, to root against them, to pick Arizona, I don't know if I can actually do that. I don't know if I can do that.
All right. Well, you guys are just going to hang out. Yep. I'll be alone.
All right, you're totally on an island, Lindsay.
I'm fine with it. Nothing new. That's why I was the goalie in the crease anyways. I got more than enough voices in my head to keep me busy.
Ash the attorney, who is off to go find another awesome food spot while Lindsay and I slave away here for at least another 15 minutes. SalmonAsh.com, visit them online and give them a call anytime, 702-820-1234, because the zeros matter and you deserve what's right. Ash, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Oh, thank you, guys. This is always too much fun. Talk soon.
Bye, all right.
Bye. SalmonAsh.com. Visit them online. Coming up next, is there a sports code of honor when it comes to shutouts?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Don't forget, you can check us out on the radio.com app and re-listen to the last, actually, two interviews. Nate Lundy from Fantasy Football Hour and Ash the Attorney from Sam and Ash. Just download the free radio.com app to your smart device. It's free from the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper left-hand corner. Some breaking news here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, brought to you by Indeed. Find the high-impact, hire-your-business-needs at indeed.com/high-impact. Le'Veon Bell has picked a team he is going to sign with, drum roll please, the Kansas City Chiefs.
As if they need more weapons.
Well, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire cannot carry the rock all the time.
Well, it seems like he's doing a pretty damn good job so far.
Up until last week against the Raiders, yes, he was.
That is correct.
Yes, he was.
Well, that's what Norm Lundy, Nate Lundy is his real name, Norm is my name for him, but he basically predicted that mere minutes ago, Paul.
Yes, exactly.
We are good at this, and we have good friends.
News just coming down to us, ESPN Love reporting. Le'Veon Bell will sign with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Winning.
The Baltimore defensive coordinator, Don Wink Martindale, was very unhappy when Cincinnati decided to kick a field goal with 32 seconds left to go in the game, and the Ravens were up 27-0. And he said, there are some people that will take that as a victory. We'll see. We'll have plenty to talk about that the next time we play them.
Wait, so he takes it as a victory that...
Oh, no. Cincinnati saying, hey, well, it's a victory because we managed to put up 3 points in a game that was 27-0 with just 32 seconds to go. Should there be a code of honor for teams? Should they just stop scoring? Should they have gone for 7 knowing that there was only 32 seconds left? Or did they want to kick a field goal as opposed to just going for it on fourth down?
How about people just worry about what's going on their sideline? I mean, you're up. Like, why do you care? Like, honestly, because don't we all talk about, you know, hockey example, playing 60 minutes. What is it, 48 in football, right? It's 12 minutes per. Is that my math correct? I'm not sure. I don't have my chicken 15, scratch over here. So I don't have a calculator.
60 minutes. 50.
60, whatever. Why do you care? Doesn't this kind of irk you whenever teams comment
it
on it? It's just kind of like, especially as the winning team, because we've seen it like, well, you guys are running up the score on us because we're just so much worse and it's just not fair. Like that's happened to almost everyone at any potential level. It happened at the World Cup for the U.S. Women's National Team. Too many goals scored. Well, guess what? It's a freaking competition.
I know.
You're just supposed to want to score as many points as you possibly can.
I'm like, they were down 27. They kicked a field goal because it was fourth down.
This is an improvement. They tried to punt away and they went for a tie.
What I want to come out of this, and this is going to happen at some point, where it happened during that Kansas State game. I think last year Kansas was playing somebody. The guy stole the ball and they were down 22 and they were trying to run out the clock and he grabbed it and dunked it, you know, to make it a 20-point win or whatever. One of these things is going to happen where some guy's going to do that, make a play or whatever it is, and everyone's going to get all mad, and then he's going to go, I promised a sick kid in the hospital
correct.
I'd score a bucket for him, And they're all going to go, well, you bro, you should just say, you know what? Just play till the buzzer ends.
Correct.
Just play.
Worry about yourself and play hard at all times. That is like sports 101.
You're not showing anybody up.
Just
the way you're going to show somebody up is if, you know, I'm going to hit a home run, and instead of a bat flip, I'm going to throw the bat at the pitcher.
Yeah. I don't. The disrespect.
I'm like,
the pride I have to display. Come on.
When Terrell Owens signed the ball with the Sharpie.
Or took a selfie.
Zone, I thought that was funny.
Right.
It was funny.
Or when he dumped the entire popcorn thing in it. Like, can we have fun? Like, we're not even talking about having fun in it. Like, now we're yelling at people for continuing to try even though they're losing by a lot. It's not like every snap counts or anything when it comes to development-wise, right? It's not like we've been operating with a plethora of opportunities for these guys to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It just seems silly.
You know what? Baltimore is really falling down my list of places that I am just like okay with because they can't stop complaining about stuff. And I hate, I mean, I complain all the time, but I hate it when other people do it.
Like, did you want him to take the knee?
Yeah. Like,
you know what?
Score we're a touchdown? Good. Is
we're
it
good.
Okay?
We're good with the zero.
I mean, for gosh sakes.
All right. Dodgers baseball coming up next. For Mark Bonilla, making things sound nice, she is Lindsey Brown. I am Paul Eihander. Enjoy the game, everybody. That's a wrap on the Playmakers. On a Thursday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.